The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Last year before the election, we had a cafe series, and I started out that night with stating that I was always taught there are two things you don't talk about in polite society. One is religion, and the other is politics. And here I am, as a priest, talking about religion most of the time, and every once in a while, politics. And the reason I think we get so personal, and we take it so personal, and we see nothing more than I don't know if there's ever been a time in American history we've seen more anger, more just as we have right now. And I was listening to a political commentator some time ago, and he said something that kind of made me start to think. When we reject God, when we start to reject religion, we grasp, human beings tend to grasp for something. We need something, something that will hold us together, something that will bind us, something that will complete us. And so we turn to government. I think that might be a good thing. Not a good thing, but I think that might be a good thought to have, that the more we turn away from God, the more we turn to something else. But there's always been that tension. Always. In Rome, the leader, the emperor, was considered a god. We'll get to that in a little bit. In some religions, even yet today, some world religions, there's not a separation, a clear separation between what God says and what the politicians or the leaders should do. And we as Christians bear this kind of stepping in both worlds, to be of the world, in the world, but not of the world. And so there is a loaded question here, and you know it's loaded when they come to him, and it sounds like they've been loaded. "Oh, we know you don't care about anyone's opinion, that you speak the truth. Tell us, is it lawful to pay the census tax or not?" It is a loaded question, and it's loaded by the very people who are there. There's the Pharisees, who honestly would say, "No, it's not lawful, because it's a violation of the Jewish law." We'll get to that. And then you have the Herodians, who said, "What do you mean it's not lawful? It's lawful. Herod is king." He was a puppet king, put into place by Tiberius Caesar, the emperor. Actually put into place by Tiberius' father, Augustus Caesar, but allowed to stay in place. And so right there you have the question, is it lawful? Is it according to the religious law of the land, the Jewish law? Not is it legal, but is it God's law? And it is a loaded question. If he answers yes, then he has the Pharisees mad. If he answers no, then he has the Herodians mad. And so what does he do? "Show me the coin." And right there from that very coin, he shows exactly what is to be done. It is said that they handed him a tribute coin, what has come to be known as the tribute penny. And on that tribute penny is an image of Tiberius Caesar, an image. Now, those that know Jewish law know that humans should not be depicted in the Jewish faith. They took it very seriously. So because it would have been considered almost a graven image. But if that was not enough, the inscription that Jesus refers to says something really, really, really wrong. Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, or if we want to narrow it down and take names out, Tiberius, the son of God. Do you see a problem here? And that's the problem. And so Jesus' response is beautiful, and it has many layers. Give to God what is God's, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Caesar is just a man. His father, Augustus Caesar, was just a man. You cannot worship him. You cannot worship him. But give him the tribute. Give him that tax. After all, the taxes went for very good things. But you have to question the hypocrisy in their hearts. The very fact that they had the tribute coin in their pockets lets them know that where they were standing already. That they had no intention of not paying the taxes. It's all a trap. And in doing so, were they committing scandal? Were they saying that, yes, we participate in the worship of Augustus Caesar, knowing that Tiberius himself might be someday worshipped as a god too? God with a minor, a small g, of course. Are they going to participate in that kind of act? The Pharisees probably not, but the Herodians probably would have seen no problem in it. But who deserves the worship? But God alone. The God who created Augustus Caesar. The God who created Tiberius Caesar. The God who created them. The God who created us. He alone is worthy of worship. So Jesus seems to be saying, give to God that worship. Give to God that praise. Don't give it to Herod. But he's also saying, in another level, there's nothing wrong with giving and supporting the government. As long as that government is just, of course. When that government crosses a line, then we have to do something. The government crossed the line in demanding worship. It wasn't quite as bad in Jesus' day as it was some 70 years later, or 100 years later, as they started demanding tributes to be offered, acts of worship to be offered, and Christians went to their death. Because again, they understood that they were called to be in the world, but not of the world. To give to God what is God's, that worship, but to give to the government only what was the government's. But there's something more, another layer here, and I think it's what, in my own prayer and reading of this and in my own reflection these last few weeks, and what it takes in the heart of a steward, Jesus is instructing us a deeper element of what we really need to be true stewards. And it's an element that I've talked about before, and it's an element I've never talked about as straightforward, perhaps. And that's the element of justice. Justice is to do what is right, to give what is right, to give what is right to God, to give what is right to our neighbors and our friends, our family, our strangers, to do what is right to us. And justice is one of those things that I think some of us just instinctively have. We tend to know right from wrong. Sometimes we struggle with having the fortitude, the strength to be able to do what is just. But we kind of instinctively understand. But sometimes we need that reminder to give to God what is God's, to give to humans what is human, to live a life of justice. In the element of steward, how important this is. I've heard of saints who have been so generous, they gave everything away. That's great for the saints. And for them, that was an element of justice. But for many of us, we have commitments, we have bills, we have things we have to do. We can't give everything away. But at the same time, God is calling us to give something, to be generous, to demonstrate our gratitude, to demonstrate that we know that everything we have and are is God's gift to us. And so it's that gift of justice that helps us. How do we give to God what is God's and know what is not ours to give, what is ours to give, what is needed for family and for commitments, for various other things? To give time, talent, and treasure in an appropriate proportion. That's justice. Justice calls us to give what is right. Justice calls us to give what is fair. And it's always done in right relationship. So justice, as an element in the heart of a steward, requires prayer too, of really reflecting what is an appropriate gift. I've talked to enough people when we talk about stewardship and such. Some talk about tithing and all those things, and I have to admit I don't like the tithe. The talking about 10%. The joke is it 10% of your gross or 10% of your net? It doesn't matter, does it? 10% of what you bring in? For some people, 10% is too much. For other people, 10% is nothing. They could give easily more. And that's where justice comes into play, I think. To look at what you're giving to the church and to the community, to various other charities and donation opportunities, to really reflect, is this just? Or is God calling me to give something more? Am I giving truly to God, or am I hoarding? Justice. Today as we come, we know that we need justice in our hearts, justice in our lives. And in doing so, we become witnesses of justice to others, witnesses of what it means to know that what we are, who we are, is God's gift. Again, everything we have, everything we are is God's gift to us. And we are called to return in justice, in generosity, in gratitude to the Lord all that he has given us.